Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, April 17th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya. And joining me today is my unavoidable twin brother, John Abaya.
Hey, what does that mean, really? Are you trying to avoid me or something?
No, I'm not. I'm actually kind of wrong because I kind of did avoid you last week. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you did avoid me completely.
Yeah.
But it was great because I got to deeply talk to my wife about issues about anime. And what was the other thing we did talk about on the
Killer Clowns?
Oh, Killer Clowns. Yes, from outer space. Yeah. It was a lovely episode. I thought we should do that more often. Maybe do a spin-off podcast, like how Serial and This American Life did a spin-off podcast called S-Town.
Yeah, and yours is what? A-Town?
Oh, yeah, Awesome Town. Or, yeah, I guess. Yeah. S-Town means family town. Like yeah. It's a family.
That's a possibility. If we have the funds for that, I won't mind.
So, yeah, buy your tote bags today on, what is it? Where do they sell their tote bags? I know you bought one.
No, NPR. I did not buy one.
Oh, you bought a shirt. I saw you buy a shirt.
Yeah,
though. You can't lie about
NPR shirt. But I don't think they're affiliated with, like, NPR. Although NPR plays like their shows.
Their thing,
they don't like. I think they're a Chicago
base. Yeah,
probably, I forgot what was like where This American Life and Serial comes from. Anyway, that's interesting that we're talking about other podcasts and other radio shows. If you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impression of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the film The Void, which was released via video on demand last weekend. So I'm really excited to talk about that film. But before all of that, John, I have something for you.
Okay.
And it's probably the last of it.
Oh.
Not it like the clown, but last of it its characters, I guess you could say.
Okay, I could take it. What
it's a trailer talk this week.
This
week's trailer talk, I mean. It's actually a teaser trailer talk. This is no surprise. This week, we were delightfully excited because it was Star Wars Celebration. So they released the one anticipated Star Wars film this year. Hopefully, in coming years, they might have like more Star Wars films.
I kind of just want one per year, and I love that they do it on Christmas. It's like a special gift from Disney.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I do not want like the Marvel or their other films where they do like three Pixar films and two Marvel. Well, I think they'll do like three Marvel films out. I'd rather just have one Star Wars, pay attention. I don't want like all this other stuff. But yeah, we could discuss that later.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even introduce what the film we were going to discuss. Yeah. Anyway, this film's teaser trailer talk is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
So much bigger. One truth. It's time for the Jedi to end.
That was a clip from the teaser trailer, which was released this past weekend. The film is written and directed by Rian Johnson. He is famed for his indie films like Brick and A Brother's Bloom. I don't know why did I just think about that. Probably because my nephew's getting married, so I'm thinking about grooms and whatnot. And he also written and directed the film Looper, which was a highly, ambitious time-traveling sci-fi film, too. Once again, this film is starring Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and Oscar Isaac. That is a list of at least the main characters for this upcoming Star Wars film. I know there's a lot more characters and actors who are involved, but I don't want to like. It's a running list, and it's a surprisingly running list too. But John, I also want to mention the cinematographer is Steve Yendlin, who also did cinematography for Rian Johnson's other films, which is kind of cool because bringing him along in the ride when it comes to coming from indie film to these big blockbuster tentpole films. And here's the plot synopsis from IMDb, Internet Movie Database. Having taken her first steps into a larger world in Star Wars The Force Awakens, which was released 2015, Rey continues her epic journey with Finn, Poe, and Luke Skywalker in the next chapter of the saga.
Saga. Saga.
I don't know. I heard it pronounced Saga or Sega.
Who says Sega? Yeah. No one says Sega.
I've heard that pronounced one a couple of times before. Anyway, John, what are your thoughts of the new Star Wars teaser trailer, The Last Jedi?
I really like the trailer. It's very mysterious. It doesn't show really anything about like the plot details about the whole movie. I like when teaser trailers do that. I can't wait when there's like a new, you know, longer trailer. But this one really made you think of what happened last, and they basically show you like, oh, she's still on the island, she's still trading with Luke Skywalker. It seems like what's his name? Oh God, I forgot the antagonist's name. The Kylo Ren doesn't have a mask. It looks like he broke his mask, like his great grandpa, for some reason. His grandfather. Yeah. He broke his mask, and I guess he's going throughout the galaxy with no mask no more. Like he's basically embracing his villainous, I don't know, his dark side, you could say.
Or some might say he has a balance.
We'll see. Oh, you mean he's rejecting his dark side, probably, slowly. I like they show actually the outcome of Finn, because we don't know what happened to him in the last Star Wars. It seems like he's being treated for his wounds. It looks like a little like what do you call that, capsule?
I was going to say, it would be so fascinating if that the entire film is him being treated for his wounds, and it's like a medical procedure side story just about Finn.
Oh. I love that Poe and BB-8 is running to Finn.
Running again and having his space?
Oh God, his X-Wing. Destroyed again.
I don't know if this is going to be a running joke of the whole X-Wing being destroyed. I could see in the last film of the trilogy where Poe's like, not again, and then like people start laughing. Mm.
Is there like a phrase that the Star Wars is famous for like that? Like, not again, but you know how Harrison Ford has the one where he talks about his Millennium Falcon being like a junk, or people talk about his spaceship. I'm assuming that's what they're doing with Poe, that he doesn't really have a spaceship. Like, he's a running gag, similar to like Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Running gag and everything. Oh, I mentioned I like the shot of General Leia when she's like looking through the map. I'm assuming that's the same map that Rey found, and she's just like looking to. You see like a back shot of General Leia. I thought that was a nice shot they did for her, for Carrie Fisher. And the ominous ending of that thing where he has to end the Jedi. I do not know what that's about. Did you dive into like these teaser trailers? Like what's the?
Oh no! After I see, especially with Star Wars, I tend to not like focus on that at all, because I want to be like, I did that for The Force Awakens, and I was generally like surprised about everything from like its twists and turns and the characters and whatnot. So I want to do that with at least The Last Jedi.
So there's a scene in the trailer. I couldn't really tell what was it. It looks like books. Like it's on a shelf, it looks like.
Oh.
And then you see...
I see it. Like the light is beaming its light on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you see Rey look like she picks up a book and dusting it off, it seems like. And if you like read into that thing about... There's a thing called the Journal of Whales. And I think the whales, I don't know how to say that. It's Whills. Like all Star Wars.
Whills.
Whills. Oh, Journal of Whills.
Yeah.
What's his name? From Rogue One mentions it. They're the guardians of the Whills. That's why.
And I didn't even notice
that. So it's tying in this mythology of this journal. I had to like read into it because I had no idea what was it. But it's interesting they actually acknowledged it.
Was it ever mentioned in the other like previous films, whether it's the prequels or the original trilogy?
I believe in the books. Like this is all coming from books. And I think even Lucas says there's like this journal that tells, because you know how Star Wars to say in a galaxy far, far away, or was it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Is that the beginning of the wills?
Yes, basically it's telling you like, what I read, Lucas said like that he wanted to connect Star Wars to the actual world, like our world.
Whoa,
this is the
really?
Way they did it. Yeah. So if you want me to, there's a thing in the previous Star Wars book, the movie. What's it called again? The Force Awakens. So in the book form of it, they actually talk about the wills. And then this is the first time they actually acknowledge the wills. And then they actually have like a passage about it. And I can read from it real quick. It's okay. A really short passage. First comes the day, then comes the night. After the darkness shines through the light. The difference, they say, is only made right by the resolving of gray through refined Jedi sight.
And so, this is when the Green Lantern appears, right?
Shows up. And it's like, do you guys call me? Like, you guys need a little help. You get Ryan Reynolds.
This is like their way of tying in DC with their properties, I guess.
Probably, you could say.
But that's the first instinct thing I noticed when you said it. I was like, oh, this is
yeah. Because they mentioned night and light and sight, so they're making it rhyme. Yeah. But the prophecy or whatever the thing, it says that there will be a character called the Gray or whatever. The person is the Gray. It's the person who balances dark and light, basically, and they'll bring a balance to the Force.
And her name is Rey.
And then you
Rey
take off
of light,
huh?
Ray of light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray of light or gray or,
I don't know. That's, yeah, I mean, unless she had like a very first name that was like,
yeah, yes.
I don't know. I don't know a woman's first name, actually. That started
Audrey,
with a G.
That's her first name.
Gina. Then Gina Ray. And then like, oh, G Ray.
Oh, okay. Gray. The G. Okay, I get it. Yeah. Yeah. I really hope they don't do that. That's silly. Like, I hate when, they do that sometimes.
Yes. But people call me Robin.
Yes, yes. That one, the person wasn't named Oblin. And then it's like, oh, why did you use your first name, Robert?
Yeah,
Robin.
Yeah.
Like, they don't did that.
Continue on your thoughts. I found this incredibly, satisfying teaser trailer. I love how they're reusing the same, I think traditionally now, for the next teaser trailer, where they have like that jump surprise, introduction. With the Star Wars: The Force Awakens, they had Finn jump out of the screen, and then this one they had Rey jump out of the screen in the beginning. And
did you think that was a planet surface at first that they showed, and then you see a huge hand?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I was thinking about Galactus.
No.
I'm trying to combine all these properties together, guys. This is going to be a $1 billion sell in the next 10 years. I found that really great. I found they are showing the characters. I feel like if you watch the Force Awakens teaser trailer and this one side by side, they're sort of in the same sort of beats. They're showing Poe, they're showing Rey, they're showing Finn, and I feel like they're showing them in the same positions as before, but in different locations, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, yeah, I love it. Can't wait for it. I think this is the only trailer I might watch, other than if they have an official trailer. I'm excited about that. News around this film is really exciting because I think they're also pushing a lot of storytelling. I guess you could say plot that doesn't always have to, be I'm worried that it's going to be like The Empire Strikes Back, but I feel not going to be that anymore.
No.
And I think that's everyone's concern, is that they're going to how they rehash The Force Awakens, even though it wasn't completely a rehash of The New Hope, that they would continue it with a different story, not with parallels to The Empire Strikes Back. But yeah, I'm hoping for that not going to happen. And I heard there's actually going to be a new character. The name, they even brought her out in the Star Wars Celebration, which her name is Rose. It is played by Kelly Marie Tran, which is really significant in the Star Wars series because she will be marked as the first, at least Asian American woman to be cast in a main role in the Star Wars universe. So that's pretty cool because, you know, with Rogue One, they had a diverse group of actors portraying heroes. So I'm really happy that they're continuing that with this film and making the galaxy even more inclusive, because that's what everyone's, criticism about the original films is, that they were all played by like white American actors or British actors. So at least the galaxy is expanding, and we don't have to worry about it. If only they could do that with their directors. Anyway, that's another concern about Star Wars. But I'm happy that Rian Johnson is directing. I feel like he has great insight of like science fiction and just having quirky characters. I wish he's going to continue to have that. I could see him play it off with Finn and Poe. I feel like those two characters have this relationship, which is like part best friend and bantering, and like you could tell like they're going to be great best friends in this series. And then when you include like Kelly Marie Tran's character Rose, it would be a really great way, because I'm assuming like Rose is like a sort of a substitute for Rey when it comes to like the three of them. You know, like we had in the original film, you know, Rey, Finn, and Poe, but now this time we have Rose in the mix. So I'm really excited for all of that.
Do you think Rian Johnson, I seen this on like Twitter, will do the whole movie like the Breaking Bad episode Fly, where they're just on the island and trying to resolve like this little thing?
He's really good at those type of, like they call them bottle episodes.
Yes.
So really excited if he does do that, something like that. I mean, he's a wonderful director, so I just really hope that unlike there's some other directors who made one indie film and just got this big blockbuster film, at least he actually created like several or a couple of indie films, and they were all like regarded like acclaimed big films, like among critics and whatnot. So I'm just hoping that that is translated into big blockbuster.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that, John, you also listened to something epic. What have you been listening? And I also finished what you've listened to, so I could like, you know, also have opinions about it too. But what have you been listening?
So the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to and finishing actually this podcast. Very short. It's brought to you by This American Life and Serial, and it's called S-Town.
Here we are. This is happening.
it's all that awkward moment of silence when you realize after about a year, it finally happened.
When I make this call, it's been a year since John first emailed. We'd written back and forth a couple times over the months, but we never talked until one day he sent me a message, and this time it had a link to a news report. The news story was about a sergeant with the Bibb County Sheriff's Department, Bibb County is where John lives, who'd been indicted for pulling women over and forcing them into sexual acts, both on the side of the road and back at the station.
So S-Town is created by, Brian Reed, sorry. It basically follows the journey of this one guy. It's all nonfiction. So that's first off, I have to say. Similar to what This American Life and Serial does. It's a nonfiction podcast. They tell a story, and I believe it's 8 episodes or 9. I totally forgot. Seven. Okay. So it's very different from the Serial. So Serial told two different stories, but they release it weekly. This one, they did the whole like Netflix type of releasing where they basically you can binge watch or listen to the whole series, and that's it. And then they just release it all at once, still episodic, because it's a formula that's very it leads to it more mysterious when you listen to it episodic. But it basically follows a guy named John B and his a little town called S-Town. And the podcast, S-Town means something else. I kind of don't want to say what it means because it's part of the journey. I have to say, when you first listened to this series, my whole thing is thinking, oh, it's another serial, something about like a murder mystery or a real, you know...
True crimes
type of show. But when you get into it more and more, it's a very poetic show, I could say. That's the best I can say. Like I said, I don't really want to spoil anything here. But when you realize what's actually happening in this show and seeing all these different people, and they're real. Like, at first, I thought, man, this is a very ingenious thing. Oh, they're making like a fictional thing. But because they don't actually say it's nonfiction, but it is real. And I like that because it kind of makes you question what's really happening. Is this real? Like, all these people, the way each story, like each thread of the story, how they're all together in a weird way. It's amazing. Like, it's something I never expected from to actually hear in a podcast. It's a thing that my closest thing is the Jinx, basically. That's I think. It tells a story and then you think you're watching something else, but it's a whole different story about this town and everything and how a town can like actually change someone and it can be good or bad. And it's very, it's beautiful and at the same time depressing. And at the end, I was very hopeful of like the message that's actually telling people about life and everything. Yeah. Like I said, I don't want to like ruin anything. I think the best part of this show, I went in without knowing anything about it. I just heard people talking about it. And at the end, I think this is one of the best things I listened to this year.
Yeah, I could continue the praises to I think what's really captivating about the whole podcast and the show and the series itself is that they took one man and his name, John B. McLemore, and then surround the whole episode or the entire show around him and his, I guess you could say, his relationships with people, whether good or bad. And I think it shows a form of like empathy and that you could see yourself in John B. Whether you are aligned with his like politics or the way he lived his life, I think there's a part of us where we also are like John B. McLemore, and that sometimes we are alone and sometimes it's kind of cool that these are people who are there to listen to you and help you out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John B. McLemore is a fascinating character in this podcast. I feel like when you first listen to him, when he speaks, it does sound like, oh, is this all made up? Like, I thought this was all scripted because he speaks well. Like, he speaks in a sense of, like, there's a stereotype when you're coming from, like, a southern state. He came from Woodstock, Alabama, that you tend to, like, speak in a more, I guess when you say, I'm not putting anything about like people who do speak in Alabama, but like in a less, I guess you could say, elegant
vocabulary.
Way, I guess
you
could
eloquent.
Say.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Unlike those Yankees in New York.
In the North, yeah. No.
Which shines a light on like Woodstock, Alabama too. And there are like, you know, there's some stereotypes and there are some also, grim reminders that the South hasn't really changed as much since like the Civil Rights era and even before all that when slavery happened. So they shine a light on that. And everyone else who's involved in here, although all true, I feel like this could be also taken into like a short film or a film away. And it's really incredible. Like, for Brian Reed to find someone like John B. McLemore, it's pretty interesting that what he did. It's like sort of like he just like a good reporter. If you're a journalist or a reporter, if you can't find a story in the initial thing you're trying to look for, you continue to find a story. And I think he did that. And it was just like, you know, enthralling and really eye-opening look at who are the people in Woodstock, Alabama are. And like you said, John, I feel that this is a hopeful podcast.
Yes.
And although there are twists and turns and it could get a little bit like depressing at times, yeah. I feel like overall the message that they are sending is that sometimes there are people out there who are alone, and the fact that we just need to listen to them. And I think they touch so many, I guess, themes in this podcast that for it to be 7 episodes, not all of them are hour long. They're like, some of them are like 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's really good to, I guess, to digest this in increments and then reflect upon it. And then, you know, if you know someone who listened to it, talk about it. And it's really good. I did that with my girlfriend. So she was really interested and she really liked it too.
I'm glad that you guys liked it.
There are so many words in this podcast I had to look up to, because John B. McLemore is really smart. And
yes,
like, I didn't even know, like, this is not a spoiler, but he's a horologist. I think
mm-hmm.
he is someone who devoted his life in creating and restoring clocks, like
yes.
old clocks too, in particular. So that's kind of cool.
When they mentioned that about him, I kind of like, wow, that's an amazing thing. And then when they show characters that are actually still doing it, or not characters, people who are still doing it today, and there's only like a handful of people that know what they're doing. And John B. is like one of the handful of people, and he knows more than most of them. And I was like, wow, this is so insane. Like, how can someone remember all this little thing, especially on a clock? Like, all how to make this certain metal or this part and everything. I was like, oh, this is so amazing. I kind of want them just to pay attention to that part of his life, too.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. Moving on. I think that, we highly recommend S-Town. You could get it for free on your whatever podcast app. I think you could also visit their website, which
it's beautiful too.
Huh?
Their website's beautiful when
yeah,
you
yeah, they show photos see. And whatnot. But I recommend to listen to the podcast first, then go onto their website
because yes,
you
yes.
could be spoiled by it. It's stownpodcast.org. And once again, it's brought to you by Serial and This American Life. Moving on, so I also listened to something which is like a whole like 360 or 180. Like we've listened to this podcast, which was S-Town, but now I think you also listened to some of this.
Yes, some of it.
This past weekend, an artist who is acclaimed and world-renowned, I guess you could say, his fourth studio album, it is Kendrick Lamar's Damn. Show me something natural like Afro. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. Still a take you down right on your mama couch and polo sack. Hey, this shit way too crazy. Hey, you do not amaze me. Hey, I blew cool from AC. Hey, oh, but much is pace me. Hey, I don't fabricate it. Hey, most of y'all be faking. Hey, I stay modest about it. Hey, she elaborated. Hey, this that great poupon, that AV on that TED talk. Hey, watch my soul speak. You let the meds talk. Hey, if I kill a nigga, it won't be the alcohol. So that is a snippet from his song Humble, which is out on the radio right now. So
yeah.
If you were wondering who that song was by, it's from Kendrick Lamar. Once again, he has brought to you a really wonderful and fascinating or captivating album, which is also like something that he dropped that was unexpected too. Like not a lot of people knew that he was going to drop an album this year. It was speculated, but you didn't know when or in what form, whether it's going to be, you know, some people use certain music apps to release mm-hmm. their stuff, and some people just drop a free album altogether. So he initially had like the single The Heart Part 4, which was a great single, and then in the actual lyrics of The Heart Part 4, it had like an album date for his fourth album, Damn. So then it was like April 7th, and then when he released it, I was like, oh wow, like 2 weeks later, Damn came out.
So he called it before he knew that he's releasing these on these certain days. Like, that's how ahead of time he is. Like,
yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And for those, what was it?
That's interesting. Like an artist that's really devoted to his schedule. Like he has to do it this time. He knows the exact days and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it's all planned out really well. I mean, mm-hmm. one of his mentors is like Dr. Dre and whatnot. I mean, he is signed with Aftermath and Interscope. Mm-hmm. But he also has his own label, Top Dog. But for those who don't know Kendrick Lamar, he is a rapper, songwriter, you know, recording artist from Compton, California, which hints why Dr. Dre took him under his wings. And since his introduction, which was like, I believe, like 2010, he's been soaring through the mainstream. And like his Dr. Dre and NWA, his music is also inspiring. It does take a turn towards like someone who's from Compton, California, and the fact that he has like political and racial and a lot of like themes throughout his albums, which is reflected of like today's political or even today's America overall. But yeah, so I highly recommend the album. It is more, it's a little bit more aggressive than his other albums, but if you take his songs, because his songs, they're basically the way he, I guess you could say, promoted his album, and even the song's titles, it has a certain theme throughout. And he follows he continues themes from his previous albums too, which is kind of cool because it makes it like his collective of albums as one whole instead of like parts of parts of himself or whatever, which I admire when music artists or any artists do, which is also great. But he still finds sort of this soul in his music that is reflected of like once again like in American culture and the things that he's seen or the people he's met that he's seen. So it's pretty great that he's still writing under that, under those like you know, he's liberated to write those type of subject matters and whatnot. John, you have not listened to any Kendrick Lamar albums, and
nope.
Your thoughts. Oh yeah, I'm going to mention like the way he also like this when the album. There's a lot of nods to like other artists too in this album too that I noticed, and I won't say who they are, but I found them really great, and it's pretty cool. But yeah, you haven't listened to Kendrick Lamar at all before this, so what's your thoughts on the album too?
I like it a lot. I don't know, you mentioned this, I think, earlier, where it's very aggressive, like, not in a bad way, but I didn't, it's aggressive, but at the same time, it's not too, I don't know how to say, like, the music, especially the production, isn't anything, I don't know how to...
Radio-friendly, I guess you could say?
Yeah, radio-friendly, yeah, that's the best thing.
Like, it's not at the same time, towards, pop music or hip-hop music. Yeah,
even the one that the Humble song, I'm surprised they actually played that song. I was like, oh, it's a nice track and the beat and in the lyrics, but yeah, there's one couple songs that like stood out for me. I don't know any of the titles. I love how, I don't know if people artists done this where it's all caps and like that's why it's
a motif that's been used before.
Okay. But it's just one word, and it's just one word that describes a song, and I like that. It's just when you actually, it makes you, when you go dive into like a song, you know exactly what you're getting into right away with the title, and I think that brings a lot to it, like that, just even the titling of his songs.
Yeah.
Overall, yeah, I only listened probably half of the album, and what I'm listening to right now I really like. I just literally just downloaded like yesterday and maybe listened to Up to Humble. Like if you know the track listing, that's where I... Oh, no, Triple X is probably the last thing.
With you too. Surprising. It's
With you too. So that surprised me. So I didn't even know there's like people are being featured on the album.
Yeah.
And when you hear actual you too, I mean, is that the actual band or is it
that is the actual band.
Okay. No, I'm saying, is it just, what's his name?
A sample?
No, his name, the lead singer of U2. Bono. Is it just Bono or is it literally the whole band?
I think it's the whole band. I mean, it's featuring, and then when I researched it, it says the whole band.
I think that song is really nice too. That Triple X, I wish that's like a song out too.
Yeah. That's like the closest probably that it could be radio friendly, I guess you could say. Yeah. My personal favorite is the last track, Duckworth. Like, Kendrick Lamar's entire name is like Kendrick Lamar Duckworth. And then I love how Duckworth is like a story of his like humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. It's like also like what I think most hip hop artists and rappers, they tend to make a track like this where they reflect on what they have been through when they were younger and what motivated them to continue on, and Duckworth is that. And it's really great because it's also produced by Ninth Wonder, who is you know, from why do I just don't remember the group he's in anymore.
League of Legends. Oh god.
Oh well, that he had like a Justice League group before. That's what he he was part of that too, Justice League. I'm just gonna go record Little Brother. His name.
Oh,
yeah, Little Brother. Yeah. Which is like a group I really love too. But yeah, there's that. That's a notable producer. One other notable producer is Alchemist. The Alchemist. I don't know why I said Alchemist. The Alchemist is also on here. He does Fear. But like, I think where you stop, John, it gets a little bit more soulful and lighter, and a lot of it has to deal with like his personal life and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think the first half is about politics and you know, where we at in our America. And then the second half is more about his personal life and whatnot.
Okay.
There's a lot of also themes about the, you know, the Bible and God and whatnot, which I find refreshing too. Moving on from that. So this week's main discussion just came out from Video On Demand. You could purchase this right now and watch it. So if you want to watch this film, please pause it, this episode, and watch it and then listen to this. Anyway, this week's main discussion is The Void.
There is something calling them all here.
What if those people get in here? What are we supposed to do?
You saw it? What was that?
You know where you go when you die? I do.
That is a clip from the trailer of The Void. So The Void is directed by Steven Kostansky and Jeremy Gillespie.
I
feel like I didn't do justice with those last names. I'm trying though. Anyway, from IMDb, once again, the plot synopsis is: shortly after delivering a patient to an unstaffed hospital, a police officer experienced strange and violent occurrences seemingly linked to a group of mysterious hooded figures. The film stars Aaron Poole, Kenneth Welsh, Daniel Fathers, Kathleen Monroe. I don't know why I had a tough time.
Yes, that's correct. You did it.
And Ellen Wong, which is she is famously known as Knives in the Scott Pilgrim versus the World from Edgar Wright. And what's the author's name? Brian
O'Malley.
Yes. But anyway, John. I was excited to watch this because it has a lot of inspiration from John Carpenter and David Cronenberg. Things that I think about is like The Thing and The Fly when I watch the trailer. So, and it has this whole mystery about these hooded figures, and like overall, like the cinematography looked well in the trailer. Mm-hmm. But after watching this, John, what's your thoughts on The Void?
You also have to mention a little bit of like Clive Barker, Hellraiser, a lot of that too.
Oh yes, yes, yes,
yes. I mean, it's like a throwback to the 1970s, 80s horror film, basically.
Yeah.
So, first off, I don't know anything about The Void. When you told me about this, you actually just text mix.
Tex-Mex is a great restaurant.
Yes. Wait, Texas, no, it's not. No, it's food. Not. Tex-Mex is not good. Have you been?
So, no, I have not. I have not.
Okay. Side note, there used to be a restaurant here by Guy Ferrari. This is nothing with the movie. I'll just say, and then they had like a Tex-Mex with Japanese food. The worst restaurant I ever been to. Yeah. That's my side note.
Now it's a void in the park. No, it's, I think it's like a waffle place now.
It's actually gone here from Sacramento. I ate the food there. I hated it. That's just a weird side note because I messed up.
Is it because you know what's like authentic Mexican food?
Yeah, it's trying to be authentic Mexican food at the same time trying to be like Japanese food. So they're trying to do both and it did not mix well at all.
Okay. Yes.
but other than that, yes. I think you text messaged me, say, oh, I bought The Void on Amazon, I believe, right? So I didn't see any trailers about it. I heard of this movie. I didn't know any. The only thing I've seen is like the poster and that's it. So I have like a general knowledge of what is it by just looking at the poster. And it is a short film. It's only an hour and 30. It feels short. It's not too long. I think that's a plus for this movie. I like the special effects. I like how they use like practical effects. It doesn't lean into too much CGI. There was like a past movie we watched recently with the guy from Doc Brown. I think it was like I Am the Murderer. Oh God, I forgot we did a review with the Get Out the Room people. Not Get Out the Room. the other podcast. Remember this?
It was Get Out the Room.
Oh. Oh, that, oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we.
I'm trying to remember, but continue on.
Yes, there was a movie there. It's similar to this. It reminds me of it, but they use heavily on CGI. This movie doesn't really lean onto that. A lot of really great practical effects. I love every bit of it. When you see the monsters, the creatures that lurk around throughout the film. But the only flaw I think this film has is. I have to sadly say is the story. It's not very coherent what's happening. You get all these characters. It feels like you get thrown into a movie with all these side characters into one building and then all these things happening. But you don't really get an impression of why they're there. Like, what's the backstory? Why do I have to feel sorry for this person? They hint to it at times, but overall, I didn't really care about what's happening with some of these characters or most of these characters. When things actually, like, how do you say, like, really gets dire in the movie, there's a part, I believe, when when the cult actually, like, comes out, and then you get, like, a little story of what's happening. What was it called again? Exposition?
Yeah, it's exposition.
So,
really quick, the film that you're thinking about was I Am Not a Serial Killer.
Yes, I Am Not a Serial Killer. Yeah. That's a good movie, too. You guys should watch that, too. But other than that, yeah, there's a huge part of exposition in this film that feels out weird. It's weird. Like, they didn't really build the world. They kind of, like, throw these words at you right away. And I was telling you this. It felt, I don't know if they're, like, hinting about the word The Void. In the way of like us, the character or the audience, where we have this void among the characters. We don't know what's happening. We don't know if this is a bad thing or a good thing, but it just feels like there is a void between me and the characters in this film. I still like the film just because what it's doing, and it's very short. Like I said, I think that's it's a plus for this film because if it was longer and it's the exact same things that were happening, I probably would not like this film at all. But I still want people to watch it. Go get it at Amazon. If it's at a local theater, go watch it. I think it's a more, if you're into those 70s, 80s horror films where they. It's a creature feature with a lot of great makeup, especially in today. And just and you understand like the tropes of a horror movie, you'll like this movie. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, I think it's good, but there's some flaws to it.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I think what's great about the film, or like the practical effects, and like you said, like the creature features, and just like. The creation of like how they the creation of like the monsters in the film or like the mutants or whatever you call them, but like everything was really detailed, and I really loved that. Like you can tell, like they didn't use any visual effects, that everything was so practical that it felt real. Like that's what I love about practical effects, that once if you do a great job, especially being meticulous about it, you're gonna pull it off by people believing that that is a creature coming up to that man. Like that is like a real creature. And yeah, that's that gets like an A plus about it. But like the story, like you said, it is weird because in the beginning, I'd say like the first probably 45 minutes, it is like this fictional narrative that's simple. Like it's like what you said, like it harkens back to like the 80s, 70s, 80s horror films. Then in the next 45 minutes, it turns into like this experimental film where you are filling the blanks. And if you couldn't fill those blanks, you are totally lost. And like you understand some of the relationships among the characters and like the hardships they went through in the past. But at the same time, you are thrown into this film. And I think you're correct. I think you hit it on the nail that this we are between the audience and the film. There is a void. there's a weird void where it went to. It reminded me of this film that's cult classic. I also love the film, but I don't know if it aged well in time. It's Donnie Darko.
Okay, yeah.
I think when that film came out, a lot of people really love it just because how weird it was and how dark it was and everything about it. Like, it was new. It's refreshing. Like, oh, who's Donnie Darko? Is he a superhero? Is he a time traveler? Is he, you know, like I've watched every, I think, special feature on that film and just like also essays about it, and it's really cool. There's like people are like analyzing it, and I think with the void there will be some sort of like that cult following, I feel like. And like I think, like you said, like people who love like those 80s films will probably like this film, and just particularly just because of the creations of the monsters and just how it's a beautiful film too. Like the color palette is really well done. Like they use a lot of greens and yellows and whatnot, and it reminds me of like a more beautiful horror. I love like how horror films are getting more beautiful, I guess you'd say, are getting beautiful. And when it comes to filmmaking, I don't think they weren't at one point in the beginning. Like if you compare it to like Poltergeist or The Exorcism, those are really great looking films. But like there's a moment in film history, I guess in horror film history, like in the late 90s or early 2000s or 2000s overall, when horror films didn't really look that well. Like they all looked the same, didn't have its own identity. Nowadays, even like The Conjuring is really great looking, and a film like It Follows or Get Out, they all have their own identity now. Like they don't look similar anymore, and I love that. Like they're taking the route like how indie films are don't look the same. Other than that, I think the acting is well done. I think I've never seen anyone act in other films like the actors who are starring in this film.
Same here.
Aside from Ellen Wong, and she did a splendid job. They kind of, I thought she was going to be like reliable, I mean, a character.
Yeah,
but she's just really there.
Well, her character is like the character or a base, not base, but in the movie, she's like a nurse that's still in her younger years and doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's shown there and whatnot. But yeah, I think the whole mysterious hood, the cult in this film is actually fascinating. But
yeah,
I wish they dive into that more. Or like that is probably why it's fascinating, because they don't dive into it as much. And then you're just filling in the blanks and whatnot.
See, I don't mind that part. I just, it's the characters' motives of why they're doing that, I think. Not the cult part, but the, like, I really didn't really care about why these people are dying and stuff like that. And I don't know. It's just that.
Yeah, like, the whole mystery about them is really cool. A lot of people, or at least in the internet, is speculating, like, how this film has ties to stories from H.P. Lovecraft. And I don't know anything about H.P. Lovecraft. I know it's like how people are inspired by him. I haven't read anything from him. So
I read, we have a book. I read some of it. I can see it. The inspiration is about these creatures mostly, the way H.P. Lovecraft writes about them. If you like H.P. Lovecraft, or Lovecraft, I don't know why I'm saying his whole name like that. This is a good movie too. Can I mention too one thing? I think the good double feature for this film, and not in a way of like movie with movie, but a good double feature for me, because I just recently played Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, and after coming off of that game and watching this, I think it's a really good complementary. Yeah, peace to each other. Sorry, I was like, I'm kind of, it's in the, we recorded in the morning, so yeah, a lot of elements and visually, especially in the later half of this movie, reminds me of Resident Evil, and I love that. The whole time I'm like, oh, this is, if I want this director to make that Resident Evil 7, like I want him to make that movie if he could.
Oh yeah, that's cool. That would be cool. I think that's it. We didn't try to spoil it for you guys for The Void. That's The Void. That's our thoughts. It's on any streaming for a price of like $5, whether it's on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, whatever you use. We recommend it. I'm pretty sure if you wait a couple months, it's going to be on Netflix. That's usually how the pattern is. Like they release it on the paid streaming sites and then they're going to release it on Netflix, which is like a one-time, you know, payment of like $10 only. Look out for that. It is The Void. And we recommend it. We liked it, but we recommend it.
Yes.
Ending the episode now. John, where can they find? Oh, wait. Actually, John, do you have anything for the 17 freaking awesome things in the 2017 list?
Currently, no. I'll think about it. Like, I don't want to like rush to 17. I want to really think of what we put on this list. For me, myself, when we have a guest, I'm interested, you know, to be a mix of guests and our stuff. But yeah, I don't have anything right now.
I don't have anything also. But for those who are wondering and want to remember it, we have in our list Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, The Photographer, Ren Hang, Get Out, the film, the television show Samurai Jack, and the film John Wick Chapter 2. So those are the five things on the list right now, and we are waiting. It's only April, so we have, I believe, eight months. until this year's over. So looking forward to that. John, where can they find you on the internet then?
Just on Twitter at AbayArts. If you want, you can go on buyarts.com. That has everything of myself, like my photos or artwork, and videos I made with my son earlier this year about Mario Run. I mean, you can check those out if you want. Other than that, yeah.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. And you can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. If you want to contact us, it's contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Follow us on Twitter at T. Oh, no, no, it's T.
You got it right.
Huh?
No, you got it right, T.
Oh, T. Is it T?
Yeah.
TFAP now.
Not P. There's no P.
Oh, wait. I keep on thinking the word podcast. TFA now.
Yes.
On Twitter. I think that's it right now. But yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.